The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Purim Echag, Purim Sameach, how are you?
Purim Sameach, very good, thank you, Howard. I hope that there's a bit of nafochu happening in the studio today, Howard. Bit of a Purim spiel. I don't want to remind listeners, but I'm sure that there's a Purim spiel going on somewhere that you're trying to fool people with.
You know what? Unfortunately, if you're living in South Africa at the time, truth is stranger than fiction. So it all gets it's all hafuch anyway. If you don't mind me saying. Tell us about Purim in Israel. I'm assuming it's in full swing.
Purim is in full swing across Israel, of course, except for cities that have a wall around them because it was ruled that those cities that had a wall at the time that that the Israelites under the leadership of Joshua entered Canaan should actually only celebrate Purim on Shushan Purim. And in Israel, that definitely means Jerusalem. And there is some doubt about Jaffa and Tiberias. So they actually celebrate Purim over 2 days in order just to satisfy the doubters, just in case. You know, let's have 2 days of Purim in those places, 1 day everywhere else. And as I said yesterday, because Shushan Purim this year falls out on Friday, so it's a little complicated in Jerusalem, where they read the Megillah on Friday, but they don't have the Su'udah on Friday. They only have the Su'udah on Sunday. So they'll do Megillah reading on Thursday night, Friday, and then they'll have Al-Anisim on Saturday, on Shabbat. They'll read Zachor and the story of Amalek as well on Shabbat. And then on Sunday, they'll send them Mushloach Manot, and they'll do the Su'udah. So it's quite complicated in Jerusalem. But actually, the place where they have the best Aglo Yada, the best Purim parade, is actually in Cholon. And this is an annual event. I think they've had it for the last 27 years or so. And they have really thousands of floats and characters. They invest a huge amount of effort to their Aglo Yada. It's very, very well known. It's on the list of things to do for tourists in Israel. They'll certainly have a Brazilian-type carnival in Cholon today. And I'm told that they're even having a float that might be, Brazilian in character, Lionel Messi and other Brazilian football players as well, amongst, of course, Israeli stars. They're going to have Netta and other well-known Israeli singers in caricature walking through the parade. So Cholon, apparently,
is the place to be
today. Jesus. Yes.
How long has this been evolving in Cholon, or is it a relatively new thing?
Well, they've had the Aglo Yada and invested so much effort over the last 27 odd years in Cholon. And it's certainly become, in the last few years at least, very, very well known, with people coming not only from within Israel, but even from outside of Israel to celebrate Purim on Cholon because of the nature of the Aglo Yada. They're expecting, 200,000 people there. Dancers, singers, choirs, street performers, acrobats, floats, whatever, it's going to be a massive event in Cholon today. So, and not only in Cholon, by the way, towns and cities in Israel will have their parades as well. People doing the Su'udah, reading the Megillah, of course, everybody dressed up. I haven't forgotten my undertaking. I will be sending you a picture as we promised yesterday. And so hopefully you'll be able to put that up with whatever you guys are dressed up in today.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. And certainly we will. All right. Let's talk politics for just a moment and get a sense of what is going on. I'm finding the polls very interesting because they really are flip-flopping. And I think that indicates just how conflicted the Israeli public is over which is the way forward. The blue and white coalition is in the lead in the polls again after slipping behind Likud for a short time. What is the situation now?
So at the moment, the latest poll is suggesting that blue and white would win 32 Knesset seats, while the Likud has fallen back to winning only 27 seats. And I think that what's interesting for me is that the blue and white coalition is not only competing against the Likud, but in fact, they're also competing against the Labour, because when you hear the words that are being uttered by Labour Party's Avi Gabay, then he's very much focused on trying to win seats for Labour at the expense of blue and white. So the fact that they're in the lead at the moment somewhat bears testimony to how confused people are, because, you know, just a week or so ago, the blue and white was winning less than 30 seats. The Likud had increased to more than 30 seats, and they were in the lead at that time. But they're very much neck and neck, and even 32 to 27, that's probably one of the largest gaps that there's been between the two of them in recent times. But there is a lot of confusion. You know, the phone hacking affair, the Likud has definitely tried to increase the public's awareness of that and to try to paint Benny Gantz as being an irresponsible leader because of the fact that it is claimed that Iran managed to hack his phone. There is a lot of confusion over the state now of this submarine affair that Prime Minister Netanyahu is implicated in, the purchase of submarines from a German contractor for the IDF, and the fact that there appears to have been some behavior that is not appropriate in terms of people on the take during the course of that particular purchase of the submarines. It has now transpired that one of the main state witnesses, who apparently gave a lot of incriminating evidence, has withdrawn his information as state witness because the state assured him that if he gave evidence as a state witness, that funds of his that were apparently stuck in an account abroad would be automatically released. That was what the state undertook to him in return for him giving this very incriminating evidence. As it turns out, the banks involved have not agreed to release his funds because of the incrimination of him in the event, in the whole saga. Even though he decided to become state witness, as a result of the fact that his funds are still stuck, he has now withdrawn his status as state witness and withdrawn all of this incriminating evidence that he gave to the state prosecutors, creating a huge amount of confusion. And of course, the other parties have jumped on this to say, Prime Minister Netanyahu, once again, you're involved in something which is really not the way that we would like a prime minister to behave. And so I think he's lost a bit of ground, but there's still almost a month left, about 3 weeks left until the election. And a lot can happen between now and then. And so I don't think we've seen the end of this yet.
Really, really fascinating which way this is going. Could you call it if I asked you for a view? Do you have a sense of how this is going to end?
My view is that ultimately it is going to be the Likud who will form the next coalition. That's still my view as it was a few weeks ago. Not necessarily because they're going to be the largest party in the Knesset, but because they will probably be the only party, whether or not they have the most seats, I'm not sure. I think it'll be very, very close in the end between them and the blue and white coalition. But I think that it will be the Likud to form the government from the blue and white coalition. That's the way that I see things at the moment. I have been wrong before, and I could be wrong on this occasion, but that's the way that I see it.
Interesting indeed. Hamas prisoners in all Israeli prisons have been protesting against the jamming of mobile phone signals in the prison. This sounds like a fascinating story.
Well, this is a fascinating story for a number of reasons. I mean, what's happened is that the inmates at Ramon prison actually went about setting mattresses alight, and they've had a month-long protest within the prison. And the reason that is because Israel has been using some technology that jams mobile phone signals such that the prisoners are unable to use mobile phones that they have in the prison, which sounds like, you know, it could be a legitimate protest. The issue is that these mobile phones are actually contraband in prison.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, are they actually allowed cell phones? I thought they weren't.
They are not. Mm. They are not allowed cell phones. And so these are cell phones that have been smuggled in by visitors, members of Knesset, as we've seen in the past. These are mobile phones that prisoners are actually not allowed to use. And so the fact that Israel has decided that instead of trying to stop people from smuggling the mobile phones in, let them just smuggle in as many as they like, because there's seemingly no way of stopping that process of smuggling the phones into the prisons. So instead of doing that, Israel decided to jam the signals around the prison. So they say, you know, take as many phones as you like. We don't care, because what we're going to do is make them unusable. And so now this has frustrated the prisoners in the particularly the Hamas prisoners in the prisons. And there's been a riot. There's been a huge amount of protest. And, you know, there's been actions on the part of the prisoners, which has been quite unprecedented. And it's ironic that they're doing this because they're really pushing in Israel's face the fact that they've got these mobile phones, that not only are they contacting members of their family through these contraband mobile phones, but they're actually running terror activities from the prisons. They're actually using these phones to communicate with members of their terrorist organizations, both in the Palestinian Authority area and in the Gaza Strip. And, of course, this is the way that they've been able to communicate and control things from within the prison, using these mobile phones, which apparently Israel has been unable to stop. So now the technology to jam the signals has been used, and it's created a lot of unrest in the prison. And in fact, a prison guard has been injured. There's been a prisoner who was injured over this. So there's no secret about the fact that these phones are being smuggled into the prison, and there's no secret about the fact that they're being used for the activities that they are. But of course, now Israel's just found a more effective way of dealing with it. So I find this somewhat amusing.
I also find it amusing.
But it's not really.
I know, but it's absurd. It's like saying, you know I'm breaking the law, but I'm going to protest if you do something from stopping me breaking the law.
Right, that's exactly what's happened at this Ramon prison, where there's really been a lot of unrest. And in fact, one of the actions that they used was that the committee that represents the prisoners in that prison actually resigned. They resigned as representatives of the prisoners. And the prison authorities saw this as a very significant and worrying thing, that the committee actually resigned. And so this, for the prison authorities, was actually more of a threat than even some of the physical unrest that's been going on there. So it's been a little bit of chaos within the prisons. And I suppose, you know, the question now is, what do the Israeli authorities choose to do about this? Because on the one hand, you don't want to have unrest within the prisons. On the other hand, allowing them to continue to use their mobile phones is clearly contrary to the best interest of the security of the state of Israel. You know, so what is the choice now? This is a typically sort of Jewish choice that the prison authorities have to make about, you know, how we go forward in the most sensible way. Sometimes, you know, they say in Israel, in Hebrew, they say, it's not good to be smart. It's not good to be right. It's better to be smart. And so the question is, you know, what is the smart thing to do?
It's absolutely incredible. To me, this is the definition of chutzpah.
Yes. Well, I mean, you have to have a lot of chutzpah to live in this part of the world, Howard, as you know. Yeah. And this is not a Purim spiel.
Well, actually, as you were talking, as I was reading this, and I was thinking, hold on a minute, maybe this actually isn't even real. Maybe it's just like a Purim spiel, which for anybody who doesn't know, it's like an April Fool's joke, this is absolutely incredible.
One of the funniest Purim spiels that I saw was the so-called two-planet solution, where it was decided that Israel had decided to move to Mars because, and I quote, we haven't found any Martians who want to kill us yet. So there's a two-planet solution. And some people actually even, you know, bought that in. So, you know, lots and lots of Purim spiel going on in the news today. And one has to try to separate the facts from the fiction.
Absolutely.
But in fact, there is a lot of attempts to make people smile today. And I hope that you guys will be able to do the same on Purim.
Thanks so much. Anthony Rach, you have a fantastic day. Have a Purim Sameach and a great weekend. Shabbat Shalom. We'll catch you on Monday morning.